Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And we do have two guests with us, Pam Scholes and Donna Reimers. And we're going to start with Pam. Good morning to you.
Good morning, LaVon. How are you?
I'm good. Pam, one of the things we want to talk about first is you have a regional meeting coming up related to those folks who are interested in bluebirds.
That's right. It's January 26th, and it's going to be held at the Indian Creek Museum, and it's real easy to find. It's on 380th Street. It's just a quarter mile off of Highway 34 west of Red Oak.
And do you need to know? Do people need to make a reservation? Is there any fee, or you just show up?
No, you just show up, but the Indian Creek Museum does serve breakfast if you want to try that out. It's from 8 to 1, and of course our meeting starts at 1 right after that.
All right. Hey, that could be kind of interesting. As long as some folks, I mean, this is a regional meeting, might be driving away, so it might be kind of fun to have mid-morning
that's
breakfast.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of a buffet thing, and yeah, they have a little bit of everything.
Well, hey, that's good. Bluebirds. Why are we talking about bluebirds right now, Pam?
Well, they come back in the spring, and so we're going to be looking forward to seeing them probably sometime in March, and we want to be ready for them.
All right. What does that mean, getting ready?
Well, a lot of people that already have bluebirds start out, and they get their boxes ready. We like to have them cleaned out, and of course, if you want to have them painted and make sure they're in a good location for them to attract the bluebirds.
And what's a good location?
Well, you want to have it where there's some open area, a lot of grass, maybe some bushes and trees, but not too close because we don't want to attract the other birds that may take over the nest.
Okay, and we're going to talk about those. And I know I've seen one at our house. You know, we live out in the country, but I don't put out a box because I have too many cats.
Well, cats are a problem.
Yes. They like those pretty bluebirds, too. Donna, good morning to you, Donna.
Good morning, LaVon.
Donna, you've been doing bluebird boxes and kind of communicating with bluebirds for a long time.
Since 1996.
Yeah, that's quite a way. And you have bluebirds in your yard?
I do not. I have not the last couple years. I did one year and was real proud of those, showed them off a lot. I don't know if I scared them away. They've not been back.
Well,
I keep hoping. I still have a box up,
yeah,
and I move it periodically, but I have a fairly small backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe there's not quite enough space
right
that they'd like to have. Well, Donna, what are some of the birds? Pam said, well, you know, there are other birds that you don't want to attract. What about those?
Well, for one thing, bluebirds and wrens do not live compatibly together. The wrens like to take over the bluebird box. They'll poke holes in the eggs, carry the eggs off. They'll poke holes in the heads of the baby bluebirds. And if you look at a wren real closely, I know they have a beautiful song that comes out of their mouth, but their beak is a nasty little weapon.
Oh, yeah, it's really long and sharp. And
yes.
Yeah, uh-huh, okay. Other birds that maybe aren't so good?
Sparrows are probably the biggest threat to bluebirds. They also like to live in a box. A sparrow doesn't usually build a nest free in a tree. They want something with shelter. And again, they'll take over the box. If you have a box that in your yard, you'll want to check it almost every day because sparrows will move in, make a sloppy, fast nest, lay their eggs. So a week and you've got baby sparrows.
Oh,
and
gosh,
you don't want that. It's hard to get rid of baby sparrows.
And we thought rabbits were fast.
Yeah, right.
What about other predators, other things besides the cats and these birds? Are there some other kinds of things that do like, I guess, bluebirds and scare them off?
Certainly some insects that wasps will build in the boxes, and sometimes ants will take over, and ants can just devastate a nest of baby bluebirds in no time.
Okay.
And I probably shouldn't mention snakes.
Well,
they can climb up a pole to the box. We try to use poles that a snake can't climb. That's a PVC, a conduit tube over rebar, and coat it with carnauba wax. Then it's slick, so the snakes can't climb up.
All right.
And raccoons are another.
Sure.
Yeah.
And
raccoons, they have those little hands.
Yeah.
They can reach right around. They can get to the top of the box, reach around, and grab those birds out of the hole.
Yeah, I can just see them doing that. But that same pole that you talked about to keep the snakes down, does that also
discourage raccoons? Yes.
Because they're so agile.
Yes.
And what about mice?
Mice will choose to live in a bluebird box, especially over the winter.
Okay.
And I like to leave mine open. Leave the door open so that kind of discourages mice.
Yeah, yeah. Now you have, Donna, you go out and check bluebird boxes in the spring to,
yes,
to clean them out.
All season long, from March, early March till, late August or September.
Okay.
I try to check them every week or every 10 days.
Okay.
I have 12 boxes at the Atlantic Well Field.
Okay.
And I try to get up there at least every 10 days.
Okay. But you need some more volunteers.
Yes. We have a large trail at Anita. I think there are about 18 sites there with two boxes at each site. And Donna Roerich, who has been real active in Cass County for several years, has given that trail up. And we have a couple volunteers from Griswold that have checked it some, but they would like some help,
yeah,
you know, like every other week. It's,
yeah,
quite a drive from Griswold, so if someone could do it every other week or every third week, it would be a big help.
Well, and I know there are people out there who love to go to the Anita State,
yes,
Park and probably do that every week, and they could just kind of add a little adventure with the bluebirds.
Right.
Yeah. So they probably contact you?
Either myself or Pam.
Okay. Okay, Pam, I want to talk a little bit about, we've talked about cleaning out the boxes and painting the boxes, but most birds are kind of picky about the kind of box you have in terms of size and those kinds,
right,
of things.
Right, and bluebirds are kind of one of them. We like to have them, a certain size,
yes,
and the hole has to be a certain size, and so you just can't pick out any box.
And what about painting? I'm guessing the,
well,
past I've
you
heard...
want them to hold up in the weather, and so,
okay,
if you put some kind of paint on them, and you want to make it a light color, so you know it doesn't heat up in the summertime.
Okay.
But you don't want them a dark wood, because naturally they're going to get hot, and the babies will probably get overheated and die.
Okay, so that's a point. You know, you don't have to make them very decorative, but you're talking about the paint, or it could be light wood with just a finish on it, right?
Right. Yeah. And, of course, you want a box that the door will open so you can check them.
Yeah, and usually that comes up from the bottom. Right,
or from the side,
okay,
either one.
Okay.
Bluebirds will let you look at them. If you open the box, they'll let you stay.
Really?
A lot of times they'll stay on the nest, or they'll fly out, but they won't abandon it.
Uh-huh.
So you can check and see how many eggs are there or how many babies have hatched. And that's one of the fun things,
yeah,
to do when you're checking bluebird houses.
And what about, I wonder if they let you take photographs of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they will.
We've had
a lot of members post pictures that they've taken with the babies.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you check them on a regular basis, you can see them get their feathers and then gauge their age, and then they'll fledge, and so that's kind of fun. You monitor them, and
uh-huh. So people could do this in town. You mentioned that you need some fly space, but it's just, you don't want to be in a forest, right?
Right, because that attracts the other birds that you don't want.
Okay.
They like a golf course is a perfect spot because of the mown grass, and you know, there are trees and stuff around, but
yeah, but not closing in,
right,
on the space.
Right.
Yeah.
If you have a big backyard, you could attract them.
Okay. And what about feeding? Do you need to feed bluebirds?
You don't have to feed them, but of course you can. They like those little mealworms that you could feed, or you could do a kind of a suet in our newsletter. In fact, we put a recipe for a new suet recipe.
Okay. Talk about, you know, how do we get your newsletter?
Well, if you just contact us, we can put you on our mailing list, and we mail it out quarterly. Talks about what we did at the meeting and some ideas and hints about attracting bluebirds and things to make them stay in,
okay,
your area.
Okay. And no cost to get the newsletter?
No.
All right.
There's no cost to attend the meeting, too.
All
and, of
right,
course, we want you to come.
All right. Yeah, because they're very exciting. Don, I want to go back to you and just tell us a little, you know, with your experience, why do you love bluebirds?
Well, for one thing, they were endangered for a while, and there were years that we didn't see one. In fact, growing up, I never saw a bluebird, and then once I got interested, there they are.
Nice.
And I first joined a group in Nebraska called Bluebirds Across Nebraska. That was before Iowa had a very active group in our area, and just got real enthused about it.
And they're beautiful.
They are beautiful.
They're one of the brightest color birds.
And they seem to live compatibly with humans. They, you know, they'll let you. I've known people that feed out of their hand.
Really?
They'll sit in their yard for hours on end till the bluebirds get accustomed to it, and then they'll come and sit on their shoulder and eat out of their hand.
Pretty exciting stuff. Okay. So, Pam, tell us one more time about this meeting.
The meeting is going to be January 26th, and it starts at 1 o'clock at the Indian Creek Museum on 380th Street. It's just a quarter mile off Highway 34 west of Red Oak.
All right. We want to thank you very much, Pam Scholes and Donna Reimers, for being with us this morning. And until next time, here's a thought. It has nothing to do with bluebirds. If you board the wrong train, it is no use running along the corridor in the other direction.